Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So a lot of teachers are already back in their classrooms getting ready for the students to return.
Yes, they're adjusting mentally and preparing physically for the onslaught of kids to arrive in school.
And decorating their rooms, which is a major endeavor for a lot of the teachers.
And some schools go back tomorrow. Pittsburgh Public students on Monday, with a few exceptions.
10th and 11th graders go on Tuesday, and the kindergartners finally get to come back on Wednesday.
And now you mix up with all those kids and all those germs. And that's where we'll pick up the story. Our weekly visit with another medical professional from Allegheny Health Network, brought to us by Allegheny Health Network, Health for All, 412 Doctors, always a great resource. And today, a pediatrician, Dr. Michael Petrosky, is with us. Doc, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah.
How are you?
Doc, we're doing great. I can't remember who it was who said this recently, but you know, when the kids used to go out there and play in the dirt and get, you know, all messed up and stuff, they were a lot healthier than kids are today. Is there any truth to that?
There's not necessarily a whole lot more truth to that. With the developments that have come along in medicine, vaccines and stuff, we're preventing a lot of serious illnesses, meningitis, you know, attacking, you know, bacteria attacking the brain, which can lead to permanent disability and or death. But kids that we just may have not known about, how sick kids have been before.
Right.
Yes, I mean, being outside playing is good, staying, you know, active, which is good for your whole body health and stuff, but it wasn't doing a whole lot to protect against a lot of the really serious bacteria and other viruses out there.
And there has been so much about vaccines from a very actually a small percentage of people, but there have been concerns. But overall, the vast majority of people want to have their children vaccinated, and legally they have to, correct, to go into schools?
Yeah, that's true. So Pennsylvania has certain vaccines required for schools. There are, like with any law rule, there are some exceptions. There are some children who can't get certain vaccines just based on certain conditions they may have. But for schools, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of vaccines your children need too. Start school, which is a good thing because, as you mentioned in your opener, a lot of kids together in one place, germ spread.
Well, okay, so let's talk about these, some of the vaccines. I actually want to start from the opposite end, and that is inevitably we hear on college campuses every year where a student has meningitis. Is there a booster? Is there a necessity before you send a young person off to a college to check on their vaccines for that, and should they get a booster?
That is true. I said a lot of kids, and a lot of the meningitis stuff we do is actually younger, so we start middle school through high school. When you look at meningitis, there's two main different vaccines for meningitis out there. One covers four different strains, which is A, C, W, and Y. I mean, that vaccine for schools is required by the time when you're 11. You need it before you get into seventh grade. And we get a booster dose of that at 16, and you need that before you go into 12th grade in high school. There is one other newer vaccine which protected against a B strain of meningitis, which we had a hard time developing a vaccine for. That is not, schools aren't requiring that yet. Some colleges are. I know there's a big outbreak in Princeton a couple years ago, and that is a series of 2 to 3 vaccines. You can start after the age of 16. So a lot of that stuff we want to get done, I said, before you get exposed and before you get into college. So most schools require that you have a certain list of vaccines, so it's always good to follow up with your primary care doctor to review everything, make sure we're in good health, and to get updated if need be.
And since we're on the eve of those classes starting, for many, they should have already done that and should have received what's required from their different schools.
That is correct. I said, and I know even a lot of schools, and said, working with some of the school nurses, they call out ahead of time over summer if they have vaccine records which show that they're deficient in a certain vaccine. You know, for instance, kids going into school, so the kindergarten kids, I mean, they need their two doses of the MMR, the measles, the mumps, rubella, and the two doses of the chicken pox, which you can start doing getting that second dose 4 years or older. So if we're keeping our regular schedule, you know, checkups and all the things, shouldn't be much of an issue to get every kid starting and ready for school.
What about the HPV vaccine?
So the HPV vaccine, so it's not a school requirement. Schools are doing a better job. They're actually tracking it now to see where our numbers are. It is one of those newer vaccines out there, so I've heard a lot of hesitancy about it. But it is one of the vaccines that has been shown to prevent cancer. Women, cervical cancer is caused by HPV, which is human papillomavirus. But 40% of head and neck cancers are also caused by HPV.
Really?
So,
40%?
Yes. That's
the
last numbers I've
seen. We saw that firsthand with our colleague, Marty Griffin, who went through this and then really has been out in the front of trying to get people to consider and get that HPV vaccine. I didn't realize it was 40%, though. That's actually remarkable.
But, yeah, I mean, I have an uncle who had, you know, similar thing, head and neck cancer, HPV related. Good thing about it now, at our office, we start talking about it age 9, 10, because you can get it that age. We sort of try to push it between 11 and 12 to get updated vaccine-wise, so you get it before exposure. We also found out the younger you are when you get it, your immune system responds to it better. So depending on how old you are when you started, sometimes you only need two doses of the vaccine. If you started after 15, it's three doses. So we're pushing younger the better to get it before you're exposed.
And, Doc, from a standpoint of folks who are older, out of school, out in the work population, are there vaccines that need boosters that most people overlook and don't realize that they probably should get?
So the main one for that is the tetanus, either the TD or the Tdap. Tetanus is an environmental issue, so it's not
right.
One of the things where you can get herd immunity, where you have a lot of people, they're not going to spread it back and back. It's a bacteria that lives in the dirt and soil, so that booster is recommended every 5 to 10 years.
Really?
And if you've had an injury or a dirty wound, it's, you know, always hear about kids stepping on a nail. You want to make sure you're updated from that standpoint. The other part of the tetanus part is some of them have the pertussis, which is whooping cough. We found out that your immunity doesn't last that long with that as well, too. So that's why it's recommended every 5-10 years, just for the tetanus and actually for the whooping cough.
Well, it's coming up on prime time for pediatricians like you, Doc. We appreciate your time this morning.
All right, thank you. Yeah, we're looking forward to fun fall.
And when it comes right down to it, what's the best advice? Wash your hands thoroughly.
Yes, wash your hands, cover your cough. You want to try to spread illnesses. And I said, as the schools in the state have it right. I mean, to prevent as much illness, disease as you can, keep everyone up to date on vaccines.
Well, have a good school year to you, too.
All right. Thank you so much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.